Hey, Hoopballers, are you into sports betting? Do you want to know why a certain game has a funky line? Well, Hoopball has you covered. Today in Sports Betting is a great addition to all your handicapping questions with hosts Ira Silver and Devin Ellington. We break down game lines and future bets on all sports and try to make some money along the way. Follow us on Twitter at Hoopball Gaming, at Ira Silver Magic, and at DALE007. And download Today in Sports Betting in the App Store, Google Play, and available on Spotify.
The following is a Hoop Bowl presentation.
And just like that, what seemed like an extremely tough series, and it probably still is going to be an extremely tough series against the Houston Rockets. Everyone thought the Lakers would be down after that first game, which was extremely unimpressive. Here we are now after game three, up 2-1. What is up, Hoopball Lakers family? I am your host for the evening, solo host for the evening, JC DeLeon. You can find me on Twitter at JCDeLeon1. Spoke to Ethan earlier. He watched the game. He enjoyed it. But it's going to be a solo episode with me tonight breaking down the box score, and hopefully the both of us will be in on the next episode previewing Game 4, or possibly Game 5 after that. We'll see down the road. Who knows exactly what will go down. So while every game in the playoffs is important, this was arguably the most important game of the playoffs so far. As you get deeper into the playoffs, they tend to get more and more important. And yeah, going down to the Houston 2-1 would have been disastrous for this team that has already made some adjustments to acclimate to what Houston is doing. And to face a deficit against a team that you've already made some adjustments for, that can kind of get into your head a little bit. And so here we are sitting after game three. We'll break down the box score a little more deeper, but LeBron was focused in. We possibly have Rajon Rondo back. Anthony Davis is playing extremely well. Defense is telling the story. So yeah, I think going down 2-1 against this team would have been disastrous because they've already been doing a lot. And this was a much closer game than a double-digit victory would indicate. So, yeah, this could have easily been a loss. But thankfully, in the fourth quarter, the Lakers stepped up and stepped up defensively. And LeBron set the tone in the first half. And I think that was evident by the fact that he didn't score very much in the second half, although he was still very, very much involved, especially defensively. We'll talk about that later. But, yeah. Every game does tell a story, and like I said, despite a double-digit victory, this game was a lot closer than the score would indicate. So let's take a deep dive into that box score to see who really shined for the Lake Show tonight. So one of the things I tweeted after game two was that we don't really have a sense of who is dominating who in this series quite yet. I don't feel like we learned anything definitive at the end of game two, and so in a lot of ways, the first half of this game sort of solidified that fact. The Lakers had pretty good defensive effort in the first quarter. The energy was pretty high. LeBron was on fire, 12 points. He immediately started the game with 8 points, a layup, and 2 threes. Hit 10 points pretty quickly. But despite that, the Rockets were driving to the basket, and they were driving to the basket pretty successfully. They weren't shooting a lot of threes, which I think is the only real anomaly of this game, if you're going to find any kind of anomaly, is that Houston, for whatever reason, didn't take as many threes as they usually do. And in that sense, I still sort of feel like you don't exactly know who is dominating who. The only thing that's been definitive in any of the now three games has been the fact that the fourth quarter, at least for games two and game three, the Lakers can turn up the defensive intensity. And they can do so on a dime. They can do so seemingly on a dime, which is a little concerning. But, and particularly in this game, game three, coming out of halftime, I think Frank Vogel finally understood that there's just no place for JaVale McGee in this series. Much as I love the guy, much as I love his effort, much as I love how he sets the tone for the team, as I've said time and time again, this really just isn't the series for him. And Marquise Morris started the second half. And to start the second half, within seconds, he had a steal from LeBron that led to a layup, and that set the tone for the entire half. Lakers recognized that they didn't play well defensively, so they turned that up. LeBron was on fire first half. First half scored 29 points, 1 point shy of his first half career high in a playoff game. He scored 30 against Boston a few years ago. I thought, having watched LeBron as many years as I have, I thought this was going to be a 40 or 50 point effort from him. The way he was playing in the first half, the way he was taking heat check jumpers, which I kind of hate that he does that, but he does, and he's King James, so you can't argue with him. But that being said, he was playing a lot smarter in the second half. He was really sort of setting the tone, like I said. And said time and time again, is a huge theme for this team, is people, this team feeding off of each other. When the second half started, there was a mic'd up segment where they showed a moment, LeBron and Alex Caruso shaking hands, and Caruso was kind of whispering in LeBron's ear, "Lead us, lead us, lead us." And I don't know if that's a normal thing for Caruso to say to LeBron, but LeBron definitely led them tonight. And so, I've talked about how he had 29 points in the first half. He finished the game with 36. So, for him to have a 7-point second half might sound a little disappointing. But it's what the rest of the team did. And I think LeBron recognized how well the rest of the team was playing, and he sort of let them have their moment. He let them shine. Especially Anthony Davis. And LeBron found other ways to contribute. So LeBron's final line, 36 points, 7 rebounds, 5 assists. 7 rebounds, 5 assists, not mind-blowing for King James. When you hear how impactful a game he had, you must think to yourself, he must have had a dozen assists. He must have had 12, 13 rebounds, scored 30 some odd points. Well, 1 out of 3 ain't bad. But here's what he also did. In the third quarter, he had 4 blocks. And one of the blocks was to end the third quarter. Austin Rivers tried his hardest to shoot a layup that LeBron couldn't touch. LeBron swatted it anyway. Back-to-back possessions, there were layups at the rim that LeBron sent back both times, led to layups for the Lakers. So they were doing what this team does well in turning defense into offense. So LeBron had a great night. We talk about plus minus all the time in this podcast. This was a tight game, and to look at the plus minus across the board, it's pretty evident. For all that LeBron did, he did have the second highest plus minus, but it was a plus 8. Markieff Morris, funnily enough, had the highest plus minus. Now, there was a moment in the game where, and it wasn't a very long moment, but it did sort of seem like maybe Frank Vogel had forgotten about Markieff Morris, because there was a pretty long stretch in which we didn't see him. And I was beginning to wonder, where the heck is Markieff Morris? Well, he started the second half, and we've talked about that already. For the game, Markieff Morris finished in 23 minutes, he only scored 2 points. He grabbed 4 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal, 1 turnover. So, he had one of those, yeah, I'll say it, Alex Caruso type games where he's not doing a lot offensively, or not doing a lot on the stat sheet, but he had a really, really positive impact on this team while he was on the court, obviously, and he had to have done that on the defensive end. And this defensive end was mostly a team effort all around. Rotations were really tight in the second half. James Harden was absolutely swallowed by defenders every time he had the ball. Russell Westbrook. It's hard to say whether or not they did an effective job on Russell Westbrook or if he was just being Russell Westbrook. I don't mean to hate on the guy or sound like I'm making fun of him, but he has been what he's been throughout his whole career. He's an inefficiency nightmare. Tonight was no exception, although he did have 30 points. And he shot 13 of 24, which isn't bad. He only turned the ball over 3 times. But, I mean, that does go to show how effective this team, the Lakers' defense, was overall. Because, despite the fact that he seemingly had an okay game, Russell Westbrook, overall, the team did extremely well. Part of it might have also been limited to the Rockets, for whatever reason, were on a limited rotation of only running 8 guys off the bench. They had Jeff Green, Ben McLemore, and Austin Rivers. McLemore and Austin Rivers both went scoreless, and so you've got six guys effectively scoring for your team. And one of those six, PJ Tucker, only scoring 3 points. So, yeah. Total team effort all around. For a little bit, they let James Harden and Russell Westbrook get theirs, and then they locked down PJ Tucker, they locked down Eric Gordon, and that sort of seemed to be the recipe for success. Anthony Davis was a +6. He had 26 points and 15 rebounds and 6 assists. He's actually been passing the ball really well. He sort of recognizes when players are cutting. And one thing about this Houston Rockets defense, as efficient as they've been throughout the postseason and the seeding games, they've been one of the better defenses in the league. They are susceptible to back cuts. And Anthony Davis has been recognizing that. He's been getting more and more assists lately. And on the recipient of that tonight, another A-plus game from him. Really happy to see that he's continuing on that positive streak. Kyle Kuzma, +7 for the game. 14 points overall. Shot 2 threes, missed 2 threes, but was 7 for 10 from the field. And most of those 7 points were from him cutting to the basket, recognizing that when LeBron's got the ball, and LeBron is scoring 29 points in the first half, there's going to be lanes open for him to pass. And he's LeBron James. You know he's going to find you. And Kyle Kuzma knows that. And so that's how he's getting his. So really great game for Kyle Kuzma tonight. Okay game for him defensively. He's drawn the assignment of James Harden a couple of times. And a couple of times he's had issues with it. And it's understandable because James Harden is one of the better scorers in the history of the league. But Kyle Kuzma still is a little too tenacious defensively, and he's a little too rambunctious in defending James Harden 3-point attempts, and he fouled him once for 3 free throws, which he made, because he's James Harden. And I think that's one of the things that no matter how good a job you do on James Harden, he's always going to do things like that, and it's frustrating. But Kyle Kuzma played really great game tonight. Didn't see a lot out of JaVale McGee, like we talked about earlier. I think Frank Vogel realizes that there's just not a place for him here. He played 7 minutes, didn't get a rebound, didn't get a block, didn't get a steal, didn't get an assist, didn't score a basket, had 1 turnover, 1 foul, was +1 somehow. but I think the story of the night, despite the fact that LeBron played the way he did, despite the fact that the team defense played the way they did, which was amazing. After a disastrous first game in which Ethan and I were wondering, like, hey, maybe don't put Rondo in. Rondo in games 2 and game 3 has been a combined +35 and +minus. Tonight he was +7. He had 21 points, 9 assists, 1 steal, which led to a layup, 2 rebounds. But yeah, he was running the ball, running the offense super effectively. And LeBron wasn't necessarily playing a cutter, but he was an off the ball post up a couple of times, and Rondo found him for that. Rondo found Anthony Davis for a couple of alley-oops, and their familiarity with their time in New Orleans was pretty evident there. Yeah, Rondo was every bit the playoff Rondo we kind of thought we would see and didn't know if we would see. But 21 points, 9 assists, like that's what you want out of Rondo. And most importantly, I kind of talked about it last game, he's going to get 4 or 5 open threes a night. And I think you want him to make enough to just kind of keep the defense honest. And tonight he shot 5 threes, and he made 3 of them. Obviously, that's going to keep the defense super honest. He shot 8 of 11 for the night in his 30 minutes. The only players to get 30 minutes besides, Anthony Davis and LeBron James was Kentavious Caldwell-Pope and Rondo. J.R. Smith played 3 minutes. It was the end of the half. Didn't really do much. We haven't talked about Alex Caruso. And so I think one of the expected things that we anticipated with Rondo coming back is whose minutes is he going to take? And it seemed like the obvious answer was Alex Caruso, which Ethan and I weren't necessarily high on because we love our guy Caruso. And tonight he was plus 7. He shot 5 points. He made a 3, which I'm always ecstatic about when Alex Caruso is going to make a 3. But he played well defensively. And there was a moment in that fourth quarter I even talked about on Twitter where when LeBron is going to rest and you've got AD out there and you've got Kuzma out there, your offense has to be run through AD. Especially if the other 4 guys on the court are going to be Kuzma, who's a good offensive player, Markieff, you can let him shoot a spot up 3. And then your other 2 guys are going to be Rondo and Caruso. Not ideal scorers by any means. We've talked about Caruso, how much we love him. He's a 15% 3-point shooter this postseason for whatever reason. That's why I was so happy that he made a 3 tonight. But if you're going to have Rondo and Caruso in there together, you don't necessarily have to be an offense that shoots the lights out, but you do have to be an extremely impactful defensive unit. And that's what they were in the fourth quarter. When LeBron was sitting down, when I thought maybe he shouldn't have been. But he's human. He needs rest. Yeah. They played an extremely tenacious defensive game in that fourth quarter. And it was all credit to that unit. So, yeah. Overall, pretty tight game. Nothing too dramatic or negative other than everyone kind of realizing that there's not really a place for JaVale in this series, which is a little unfortunate. But one thing that is going to be to the Lakers' advantage, and we've talked about all year how much versatility this lineup has and how many different ways they can play, and it's because they have a lot of players available. I didn't realize until tonight, staring at the box score, that the Rockets are running 3 people off the bench. I don't know if that's normal, but it seems like it because, the players that didn't play, you got Luke Mbamute, Damari Carroll, Bruno Caboclo. I don't know who Clemens and Frazier are, but yeah, they were missing Daniel House Jr. tonight. So 4 guys off the bench where the Lakers are running 5-6 guys off the bench, and they're running a much deeper team, and they have different units. And the Rockets might have another concern, and Robert Covington tonight took a pretty hard shot from Anthony Davis's shoulder. And Covington, in addition to being an extremely good 3-point shooter, is also the tallest player on the Rockets team. And he's 6'7". If for whatever reason he's unavailable the next game, he probably will be. But if for whatever reason he's not going to be available the next game, this Rockets lineup gets shorter figuratively with the number of players and gets shorter literally because Covington is their tallest player. And so the Lakers are just now starting to exert their dominance over the Rockets in terms of rebounds. Tonight there was a 43-30 advantage in the rebounding category. Anthony Davis, like we talked about earlier, at 15 rebounds, he was just rebounding all over the place. And so that's definitely what you want to see out of this Lakers team is tenacious defense, tough rebounding, outlet passes, fast breaks, and that's the key to success against this Rockets team. And the Rockets are great. They're a great shooting team. They're not going to be an easy out by any means. This is not going to be a 5-game series. Highly doubtful that it is. This is going to go 6, maybe 7 games. But for now, the Lakers are looking good. And with some off-the-court help, they could be looking even better. And that off-the-court help could be courtesy of none other than Manscaped. Of course, that's not for me to find out, but it could be for the guys, significant others, wives, girlfriends, what have you. They could definitely use the help of Manscaped to impress that significant other, because Manscaped is the perfect trimmer for, you know, the region that your significant other can examine and take a look at from time to time. It is the greatest hair trimmer ever created, the Lawnmower 3.0. The Lawnmower 3.0 is waterproof. It includes an LED light. It's made with advanced skin-safe technology, reduces nicks and cuts on your delicates. You can get this trimmer inside their Perfect Package 3.0, which includes the Manscaped Crop Preserver, Ball Deodorant, and Crop Reviver. All things that are super necessary, no matter what time of day or night, especially after a hard-fought game like Game 3 tonight. And for a limited time, when you pre-order the Perfect Package Kit, you get 2 free gifts. The Shed Travel Bag and the Manscaped Anti-Chafing Boxer Brief. Anti-chafing cooling boxer briefs might be one of the favorite parts of the might be one of my favorite parts of the collection. Boxer briefs have an optimal temperature control with their crop cooling technology while keeping your pride and joy supported. The waistband is also super elastic to reduce chafing and rubbing. Plus, when your girl sees this logo, she knows she's got a real Manscaped man. With the code HOOPBALL, you can get 20% off plus free shipping, which will save you an extra $5 there at manscaped.com. Once again, 20% off with the promo code HOOPBALL. 20% off and free shipping with the promo code HOOPBALL. So what to look forward to for Game 4? Well, I think one of the most dangerous weapons that the Rockets have, despite me making fun of him a little bit earlier, is Russell Westbrook. Russell Westbrook is a former MVP in this league. He is somebody who does have the capability, despite his inefficient shooting, and he was fairly efficient tonight. He does have the capability to explode for one of these nights where he's going to go, you know, 22 for 26, or he's just going to, for whatever reason, he just can't miss. He's going to have those nights. He's a former MVP. He can do that. That's one of the things that I think can plague this Lakers team is, yeah, they're letting Russell Westbrook shoot right now. I think there could be a point where they're letting him shoot too much, and he's going to start to take that a little too personally because he's Russell Westbrook and he does that sort of thing. That's the most dangerous thing, I think, for this Rockets team is, yeah, that at any moment Russell Westbrook can have a night where he's going to go for 50, and it's just going to kill your team. And hopefully that comes on a night in which the Lakers have a pretty comfortable lead. They're already up 2-1. Maybe if they're up 3-1, something like that, they can sort of weather that sort of storm. But, yeah, the Rockets are going to try to get Russell Westbrook going. Because one thing that's been evident so far is that no matter what you try to do against James Harden, he's going to get his 30 points. You can double him. You can have Rondo guard him one-on-one. Rondo's a great one-on-one defender. Harden is still going to get his 30. And so where the rest of the points are going to come for the Rockets, that's sort of where you have to pick your poison, so to speak. And, yeah, it's hard to say whether or not Russell Westbrook will be that guy or Eric Gordon or maybe Jeff Green, Robert Covington if he comes back or if he's able to come back from that shoulder to the face tonight. He's somebody who's capable of exploding and having a really good game, but I think the game plan right now is the Lakers can just sort of stand pat. The Rockets were really hot to start the first quarter tonight. They only missed 6 shots in that entire quarter. They're not going to stay hot that entire game, and that was evident. So one of the things I tweeted out was to not necessarily change the game plan, just kind of keep it going. And in a lot of ways they did that. They just turned up the intensity, and that sort of seemed to make the difference. So, yeah, so for Game 4 and kind of looking forward is you just kind of want to make sure that Russell Westbrook's not going to explode. As for the Lakers, I think I think for Rondo to continue to get in more shape and for this team to have more confidence in him, that's gonna get better and better. I think it's time to stop starting JaVale McGee. And I think it's time to start Markieff Morris. I think Kyle Kuzma is, I don't know personally how comfortable he is being an option off the bench, but he seems to have found a comfortable spot where he can make cuts because LeBron will find him. He will shoot when he is in there because they do have faith in him to shoot. And he's been an effective defender, and he seems to really enjoy being an effective defender. And so I think he's still good coming off the bench, and I would start Markieff over JaVale. So that's one thing I would look forward to for Game 4. But one thing you can also take a look at is if you want to take a look at the early line, you could do so at mybookie.ag. They have partnered with hoopball.com with their own promo code. You enter in a deposit with the promo code HOOPBALL. They will match your deposit. Currently, right now, MyBookie does have an insane promotion where the Kansas City Chiefs on opening night, which is just a couple of nights away, are a plus 54, maximum bet of $50. This is free money, ladies and gentlemen. Go to MyBookie.com, throw down $50 on this bet where the Chiefs are plus 54. It is a near 100% lock. You will make some money if you make this bet. Promo code HOOPBALL at MyBookie.ag. But for Game 4, right now, as of this recording, it's still a little too early to determine what the exact line will be. I think Covington, whether or not he's going to play, is going to make an impact on that line. So probably tomorrow, or as of this posting, or whenever you're listening to this, you should be able to go to mybookie.ag and check the line for Game 4 if you are so inclined. But what say you, HoopBall Lakers fam? What are you guys looking forward to for Game 4? Feel free to reach out to us on Twitter at HoopBallLakers and let us know what you're looking forward to or what adjustments you think the team should make, and we might try to give a shout out to some of those responses. You can find us on Twitter at HoopBallLakers at HOOPBALLLAKERS all together, HoopBallLakers. You can find me on Twitter at JCDeLeon1, and you can find Ethan on Twitter at Ethan_Noroff. It's ETHAN_NOROF. It's one F on Twitter. And follow the rest of our HoopBall sites, HoopBall Gaming, HoopBall Tweets, so many HoopBall accounts out there. And check us out on HoopBall.com. Until next time, we out.
This has been a HoopBall presentation.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.